How deep the Father's love for us that she just played. I love that last verse. And I know we've said it and we've quoted it many times, but let me read it. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. What a wonderful song. How deep the Father's love for us and how appropriate for us today on Father's Day of all days. It did say in that verse, it mentioned, I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom. Although today we're talking about wisdom. We're continuing in James 3. I hope you've all enjoyed James as much as I have. I've truly enjoyed studying it and reading much about it. And it is a very, very good book. And we're going to continue today, James 3, verses 13 through 18. We're going to talk about wisdom. So today especially, more so than any other time period probably in our history, especially with social media, what is going on in the world with COVID-19, it seems like everyone is an expert. Everyone, all of a sudden, has wisdom when it comes to health, medicine, and infectious diseases. It truly is amazing to see how these people suddenly know all about something, especially politicians, that these professionals don't even truly understand or know exactly the full extent of it. The other great thing about all this great wisdom, if you'll call it, that people have is they are all very willing and eager to share that wisdom, that knowledge with everyone. The problem that comes from this is how do we know who to listen to? Who is giving us the correct wisdom, the correct knowledge? We have all heard some of the more popular words of wisdom, if you will. One of them, you can do anything you set your mind to. Well, I like Superman. And no matter how much I set my mind to it, I will never be able to fly. Never. We've heard other ones. Other words of wisdom that people like to say. It's the thought that counts. No, actually doing the thought is what counts, not thinking about it. It's the action that counts. I think we've learned that from James, is that the action is what counts. And then last week we talked about a very popular one or a very famous one. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And as we talked about last week, we know words hurt. We know words matter. So we know there's all this wisdom that is out there. When I was in Bible college, the dean of the School of Religion, who I had for many classes, his name was Dr. Thurman Wisdom. You couldn't have a better name if you were going to be the dean of the School of Religion. When his parents named him, they had to have known he was going to be a Bible professor. He had no other choice, I think. I believe it was my senior year, Dr. Wisdom retired. He had apparently no more wisdom to share with us. Sorry, it's a bad one. But he retired. And one of our classes that we had, we all called it the Preacher Boys class, that met once a week with all of the students in the School of Religion, from freshman through senior year. And we met and had a ceremony honoring him. His wife was there, and the class had a plaque made for her. And this plaque said, Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Congratulations on getting wisdom. Obviously, a play on his last name is what the plaque said. And it went on to say other things. I don't remember exactly what else it said. So, of course, that was meant to be funny for her. But remember what the rest of it said. But remember what the verse says is very true. It is a great verse, full of wisdom. which is what we are talking about today. Proverbs 4:7, the whole verse says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." Wisdom is important. The principal thing, it says. Correct wisdom, true wisdom, is important. This is the wisdom Proverbs is talking about. It is important. As I said, there is no shortage of wisdom. And I use the term wisdom very loosely. The question is, how do we discern between proper, correct wisdom or, to use a term that the media has taken, fake news or fake wisdom, incorrect wisdom? It's not easy. No one wants to be considered foolish or unwise. We all need wisdom, whether we are in school, at work, at home, in church, growing in Christ. In all aspects, we need wisdom. We learned in our second message in James 1 and verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." We know wisdom is important. We know we need wisdom. How do we tell the difference? We're going to see what James has to say about two types of wisdom we can have. Let's read our passage together, James 3:13-18. "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above. It is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial, sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." We're going to look at today two types of wisdom that we see in this passage. The first type of wisdom is earthly wisdom. And then we find wisdom from above, heavenly wisdom. This passage is a natural outgrowth of the discussion on the tongue. Now that we have learned the importance of taming and controlling our tongue because of the power that it has, such a small member with such great power, and we know that it is our heart that is controlling and driving what comes out of our speech, what must we fill our hearts and minds with? Wisdom. First, before we look at the two kinds of wisdom, we have an exhortation in verse 13. Verse 13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in meekness of wisdom." James is exhorting, encouraging us to know the people who are wise and understanding. We know them from what? How can we find or pick out these people who are wise? We find the answer in James 3, but we also find this answer in James chapter 1 that we have already talked about, as well as in James chapter 2 that we have already looked into. The answer is verse 13, "By his good conduct, by his good works, by his good deeds, by being a doer of the word and not just a hearer, by not having just faith in Christ, but a living, active faith in Christ that causes and moves you to action, to live out your faith in your everyday life, not just in hearing of the word. A person who is wise and understanding is going to have the wisdom to be able to apply God's word to practical everyday living. That is how you're going to know a wise person. Are they living out their faith in their everyday life? Are they showing those good works, those fruits in their lives? The characteristic it stresses in this verse on how to live this wise life is in meekness of wisdom. Verse 13 tells us, you will know this person by his good conduct, but not a flashy, prideful, boasting conduct, but a meek, humble, honoring, wise conduct. This is not talking about weakness or resignation. No, this is talking about gentleness as strength under control of the Spirit of God. It is the meekness or gentleness that comes from wisdom of character, wisdom of strength. This is a practical wisdom that enables one to live a life of godliness. So now we come to that first type of wisdom, earthly wisdom, we find first, James talks about. We find in 14 through 16, verses 14 through 16, he talks about earthly wisdom. This world, as we said, is full of earthly wisdom. There's no shortage of people ready and willing to give and share their wisdom with you. We find in the next passage how to identify earthly wisdom. We will see that it is what it looks like, so we will know to avoid it or beware of it, and most importantly, not let it creep into our life or into the life of our church. We can see from verse 14 a change in what James is saying from verse 13. He is contrasting the wise and good conduct in verse 13 with the wisdom, with what wisdom should not look like in verse 14. Apparently, some of the people James is writing to were having trouble with this wisdom. Verse 14 says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. Bitter jealousy and selfish ambition are not what you want to fill your hearts with. The selfish ambition can be described as this: self-seeking attitude bent on gaining advantage and prestige for oneself. Do you think that sounds like the love of Christ? Do you think that sounds like loving your neighbor? What do we learn in James 2 and verse 8? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. We are not loving our neighbor when we are covetous or jealous. It is hard to love someone when you have a hateful dislike of their fortune or blessing, a bitter jealousy. James goes on to say selfish ambition in your heart. Ambition is not necessarily a bad thing. It is often used to describe a fanatical zeal for something. But we see the adjective that James uses, he makes it clear this is a selfish or sinful zeal. And he insists that they must not boast in this or be false in the truth about this. James refers to this attitude described in verse 14 as wisdom. He obviously does not mean it is genuine wisdom. On the contrary, it is wisdom claimed by the world. This kind of wisdom contradicts the good conduct from verse 13. As we look at verse 15, it says, this is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. This wisdom evaluates everything by worldly standards. It makes personal gain life's highest goal. We know, and we will see, God is the source of genuine wisdom, not this wisdom that is described. James declares this is not wisdom that comes from above. This is not God's wisdom. This is not heavenly wisdom. No, it is earthly. It views life from the limited viewpoint of this world rather than heaven's viewpoint. Its mind is set on earthly things. James also calls this kind of wisdom unspiritual and demonic. We see in 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 14, this idea of spiritual versus unspiritual. To give us an idea of what James is talking about, 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 14 says, "Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we must understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom," not taught by this worldly wisdom that we are talking about here, "but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept this, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." The spiritual man has received the Spirit of God, but the unspiritual man does not have the Spirit of God. Therefore, wisdom that is unspiritual characterizes the unregenerate human nature. No, it is not heavenly wisdom from above. It is something entirely different. It is earthly. It is unspiritual. It is demonic. What is the result of this earthly wisdom? What can come of this kind of wisdom? Let's see what verse 16 tells us. "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice." Jealousy and selfish ambition will always result in disorder in every vile practice, James tells us. The word for disorder here is a common word for anarchy and turmoil. Luke used this word to refer to political turmoil. James is no doubt speaking of disturbance and turmoil in the church. When he uses the phrase "every vile practice," he's referring specifically to worthless activity, to deeds that are bad because they're good for nothing and cannot produce any zeal, any real benefit. Jealousy and selfish ambition always tend to destroy spiritual life and work, and it has no place in the life of a Christian, and it certainly has no place in a church. So we've seen earthly wisdom and all its folly, and now we come to the second kind of wisdom, wisdom from above, as James says. James now turns to a description of wisdom from above. True wisdom has its origin in Christ. It comes down from heaven and is God's gift to every believer who requests it. Let's read verse 17. "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere." This wisdom that comes from above is first pure. Pure is its basic characteristic. This refers to the wisdom as being absent of any sinful attitude or motive. It is the opposite of self-seeking that we saw in 14 through 16. From this first quality of wisdom, being pure, flow the outward manifestations given in the rest of the verse. What manifestations should we see from this wisdom that is from above, that as at its core is pure? First, we see it is peaceable. This is in direct contrast to the bitter spirit of competitiveness and selfish ambition described in verse 14. Then we see it is gentle, or could be characterized by considerate. This is one of the words of character descriptions in the New Testament used to describe God's disposition as king. He is gentle and kind as king, even though in reality he has every right to be harsh, to be disciplinary with us because of our sin. Are you and I, as God's people marked by this quality of being gentle, not insisting on our rights, but exercising love instead. We see this pure wisdom from above is peaceable, gentle, and next, open to reason. What is not open to reason is self-seeking and stubbornness. There is no room for these qualities in wisdom that is from above. Also, we go on to see wisdom from above is full of mercy and good fruits. We show mercy to all people who do not deserve it, just like the mercy God shows us. We are fallen, sinful people who only deserve punishment and judgment. But God, in his love, in his mercy, takes what we should get, takes away, and gives us instead grace and forgiveness. How deep the Father's love for us. So in turn, what do we give to our fellow man? Do we love our neighbor as we should, showing them mercy as Jesus Christ showed us? You can be compassionate. Heavenly wisdom is always ready to help those who are in need, making it impartial, which is the next item on the list. We spent time in James 2 talking about the sin of partiality. We know in this life of a believer, there is no room for partiality or favoritism. Therefore, we see that wisdom from above, heavenly wisdom, is impartial. It is not discriminating in any way. Finally, this wisdom that is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial, it's also sincere. This wisdom is without hypocrisy. There is no hidden agendas or motives, unlike that wisdom that is earthly, that is full of selfish ambition and pride. James concludes this section of wisdom that comes from above by reiterating the second quality listed in verse 17, peaceable. To have a harvest of righteousness, we must have a certain kind of climate. We must have a certain kind of culture so that this harvest can grow and flourish. Now, I'm very happy to say that I am not a farmer. I have not grown things. Last month, I tried to grow grass, and I couldn't even do that. But I do know that in order to grow things, there must be a rich soil. There must be water. There must be a climate that is conducive to growth. Verse 18 tells us, "And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." A harvest of righteousness cannot be produced in a climate of bitterness, of self-seeking. Righteousness will grow only in a climate of peace. This harvest must be sown and cultivated by those who make peace. This type of person not only loves peace and lives in peace, but also strives to create conditions of peace. Wisdom comes from the Lord and manifests itself with certain characteristics. Only heavenly wisdom can completely change a man's life. A wise man will be merciful, considerate, and peaceful. So let me ask you, has your life been changed by Christ? Have you looked into the perfect law of liberty? Have you looked into God's word and been changed? Christ comes to this world both fully God and fully man. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross. He rose from the grave and now sits at the right hand of God for you, that you could have eternal life. We cannot have true wisdom from God if we do not know God. We can see the radical difference between wisdom that is from above and this earthly wisdom described. We must guard ourselves from this earthly wisdom that takes away from God and his word. We We must look to Christ as our source of wisdom. Wisdom is not demonstrated by how much we know, but in how we live our lives. Let me say that again. Wisdom is not demonstrated by how much we know, but in how we live our lives. Remember, there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. I could read a book this week on open heart surgery. That book could give me all the knowledge I need to know how to perform open heart surgery. But when I am standing in that operating room, it takes wisdom to turn that knowledge into action of performing that surgery. It takes more than knowledge to be able to do. It takes wisdom to do. It takes wisdom to act. If you remember anything from James, remember how you live your life matters. Your actions matter. Your faith in deeds matter. How you care for those in need matters. How we care for and love all people without partiality matters. How you use your speech, your tongue, matters. In order to do all of these things, it takes wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Get true wisdom from above. Where your wisdom comes from matters. We must remember the only way to become wise is by first knowing the source of true wisdom. And as we know, this is the true source of wisdom. This book contains all the knowledge we need to know how to live a life that is honoring to Christ. When we know God, He makes us wise, working in us to produce evidence of His presence and power. As we have looked through this passage today, my prayer is that you will seek wisdom that is from above. Let's pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we humbly come. And Lord, we ask that you would fill us with your wisdom, with your heavenly wisdom from above today. Lord, I ask that we would humbly ask for wisdom if we are lacking in it. Lord, we know that you will freely give. Lord, I ask that you would help us guard against earthly, selfish wisdom. Lord, protect us. Help us not to allow this to creep into our lives, to have our own ambition, our own prestige come first. But Lord, I pray that our wisdom would come from you by knowing you. Lord, help us to know you fuller, to know you deeper. Lord, I pray that we would fill our hearts with wisdom. So therefore, then our lives would be an outpouring of that wisdom of you. Lord, I ask as we go forth today that we would do, that we would act, that we would put into practice this week what is in our heart. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen.